One more time. We are a heart-centered spiritual community dedicated to empowering personal transformation and living the unlimited possibilities of spirit. Wow. Well, there's a woman who was applying for a job in Florida's Lemon Grove who seemed to be way too qualified for the job. So the foreman asked her, "Look, miss, have you ever had any experience in picking lemons?" Yeah, it was a lemon grove, right? She was applying for a job as a lemon picker in a lemon grove and said, "Do you have any experience picking lemons?" Right? That's a good question. The woman paused and said, "Well, as a matter of fact, I have. I've been divorced 3 times. And then there was this housework challenged husband who decided to wash his sweatshirt. Seconds after entering the laundry room, he shouted to his wife, "What setting do I put the washing machine on?" And she replied, "Well, it depends on what does it say on your shirt." He yelled back, "Dallas Cowboys!" Uh-oh, right? Oh my gosh. Well, I am a powerful, creative, spiritual being, and I am activating my power of spiritual discernment to create a world of my conscious choosing. That's a pretty long affirmation, but I know that if you work it and say it all week long, amazing things will happen in your life, believe it or not. So you got it in a little handout there, and you can put it on your mirror, but you're going to have to say it with me right now, together. I am a powerful, creative, spiritual being, and I am activating my power of spiritual discernment to create a world of my conscious choosing. One more time. I am a powerful, creative, spiritual being, and I am activating my power of spiritual discernment to create a world of my conscious choosing. Okay, all right. Margarita's making sure everybody's got one of those handouts. Everybody else got one, right?
Right.
Everybody but Wendy. We'll get you one. There you go. Our thoughts and words can be like a double-edged sword, right? Our thoughts and words can be like a double-edged sword. They always come back to us, good or bad. Whether they're spoken out loud or silently into the invisible ethers. Yes, unity's truth teachings can be a double-edged sword. So we must learn to pause and engage our faculty of spiritual discernment. For those who don't know, it's right here, not up here. It's right here, and you can feel it flowing through you when you pause and take that deep breath in and then focus on using our teachings and your words in constructive and empowering ways, right? It takes a little practice. In the Revelation according to John, the final book of the Bible, for those who don't know, right? It's also the scariest if you believe it's literal. It's really, really scary. If you believe it's metaphysical, and metaphysical is where every person, place, or thing within a story actually is happening in you. So the story of Revelation is happening in you. And when you reach that point of moving in, rising up into heaven, everybody, we go, right? We go as that opportunity. Earth doesn't end. Our belief in what it was will end. So, in the book of Revelation, there are actually a number of references to a double-edged sword, which is a symbolic term meaning that our thoughts and words can be used to both cut in both ways. They can be used in constructive, empowering ways, or in destructive, in restrictive ways. Yes, our thoughts and words have creative power. And we can use them much like a double-edged sword, although that's not our intention. Right? We can use them to create constructive, empowering ways, or destructing and limitative ways. Yes, our thoughts and words have creative power and can be used as a double-edged sword. And that can make life a little challenging because our thoughts and words actually form our reality, whether we know that or not. Our thoughts and words form our reality. In the opening chapter of Revelation, the author, John, who is actually being held as a prisoner in a cave on a small island off the coast of Greece, he has a spiritual experience. He experiences the breath of life flowing through him, and he feels its love, its wisdom, and its power. He shares, "We must write a letter to our seven churches of Asia Minor." Right? Y'all done that, right? Write a letter to you, seven churches of Asia Minor. First thing to do on our to-do list, which metaphysically means that we must connect with our seven primary spiritual power centers. We call them chakras or energy centers or anything, but we have these 12 energy centers within us. And the first thing that we do after we have a spiritual experience is to write a letter. We have to connect with the seven primary chakras. Okay? And then learn how to use them in beneficial and good ways. Then to learn to control and direct their energy. Right? You're in practice of directing the energy of your chakras, right? This is essential for our well-being. If we are to make it to our destination, right? Our destination, you all want to go there, right? To the kingdom of infinite possibilities, right? Right? A field living in awareness of the living energy field all around us all the time. Don't you want to go there? Yeah. Right. So, this idea is essential if we want to make it to that destination. To feel that living energy permeating every cell of our being, to feel the love, the wisdom, the knowledge flowing through us. How it permeates every cell of our being. And then a wonder of God just flowing through us. Y'all want to make it there, right? Yeah. Right? Well, the development of the third church, Perigam, the third chakra, is critical to making it to live in a state of beingness. Perigam angel is addressed as he who has a sharp double-edged sword. The church of Perigam symbolizes the intellectual consciousness. And without it, we really can't grasp spiritual ideas. However, Perigam's true purpose is to guide us into an understanding of the omnipresence of God. Right? God is everywhere present all the time. God is a living energy all around us in this moment now. Can you feel it? You just took a breath. Did you feel that living energy flowing through you in this moment now? To truly understand that it is God that we live, move, and have our being immersed in, we have to activate that power of spiritual discernment. Down here, not up here. which truly, in order to do so, we have to let go of our intellect, of this thinking thing that we call our mind, of our ego, right? Got to let it go and return it to its purpose. Just to be here in this moment now and engage that power of spiritual discernment so this power truly is a paradox. Into an experience the power of spiritual discernment, we have to let go of our intellect. Crazy idea, isn't it? Although the intellect is necessary for us to grasping spiritual ideas and the way they work, the intellect can also be a deterrent to our spiritual growth. Because of it, we often chase after what we might call false teachings, side roads, dead ends. You see, experiencing heaven's presence is right here, right now, and is all about you. Right? It's all about you and how you are experiencing this world, about the path you are traveling on in this lifetime. You see, we are spiritual beings made in the image and likeness of God. One with God. Through the I Am. We are one with God through the I Am presence, through the Christ mind in us, God mind. The field of living energy is the source in our supply. It's all around us. It's all we really need. To be able to spiritually discern this moment now and to seek to be with and to practice this awareness. However, our seeking this, it is possible to attract to us, or should I say, be distracted by, certain practices and beliefs that seem to increase our spirituality, but which in fact do not, and they lead us down a path of chasing after golden illusions. So it's not about fixing someone else. It's not about reading tarot cards or seeking the future or allowing someone else to determine what's right for you. It's about developing an awareness of this moment now and how we are relating to our own thoughts and our own feelings. Right? How are you relating to your thoughts and feelings? And how you might be projecting those thoughts and feelings out onto somebody else. Because that's what we do. That's what we've been taught to do. It's just as the book, The Eye of the Storm, that we're talking about on one Wednesday night, it's just as it discusses. When the faculty of spiritual discernment is engaged, you will allow it to guide your steps and allow yourself to take them one by one, releasing what needs to be released and visualizing and affirming what is in your highest good, then letting go and allowing the Christ presence, the I Am of you, to guide you. Earthly teachers and coaches are good, but we are on this plane to develop our own self-mastery. And we are not helped by relying on intercessors, those people that want to jump in and take over our life. You know any of those? Yeah. Whether they're in this physical world or otherwise, giving them special authority over us and our own personal spiritual awareness. When we do this, it simply confuses us. Have you ever noticed how that happens? Another way this double-edged sword is swung is reflected in the words of Revelation, the book of Revelation. I know where you are living, where Satan's throne is. You are holding fast to my name, but when people in our day and age read this, they believe that the name Satan refers to the devil. Right? The evil one. Anybody ever hear the devil, the evil one? Well, but the character called Satan, right? The character called Satan actually only appears in one story with Jesus. All three of the Synoptic Gospels, right? The same story is shared. And in only one book of the Bible called the Book of Job. Right? And in the Book of Job, Satan is actually introduced as God's helper. An agent sent to test Job to see whether or not Job would stay on the path God guided Job to take. And I'm sure if you have read that story, you know he doesn't. Until he has to get down on his knees and beg. Right? God asked Job to do something, and he didn't want to do it. You ever had a spiritual tugging in your heart to do something, and you didn't want to do it? Right? Oh my gosh. Metaphysically, Satan represents the ego mind. For you who don't know ego, it's actually ego. Right? And when continually test us to see if whether or not we're going to stay on our path of spirit, and it's that path we're being guided to take. So you see, we are living in a world that it continually tempts us. A world offering many different possibilities. Many different ways to see a thing. And we live where Satan's throne is. A world of illusions that encourages the belief in duality and the sense of separation. If we are living from the mortal mind, from the mortal mind's intellect, from the ego, it has normally guided us in one direction, and we'll swing this double-edged sword, right? Words inspired us by spiritual insight, striking down anything that might look like that spiritual inspiration, causing us a further sense of separation. Right? Double-edged sword destroys everything in its path. Ours is a difficult path to walk. We're asked to stay centered and connected to the divine, yet there are no outer appearances of it anywhere, right? You all go through life every day seeing it everywhere, right? Only if you've been taught. The outer appearances guided by ego tells us otherwise. All you have to do is to turn on the evening news or listen to one of the many stories people tell, and it can be quite overwhelming. Yeah, we are living in a world dominated by the ego mind. Yeah, where Satan's throne is. One day there were these two snakes. And they were talking to each other. One snake turned to the other snake and asked, "Are we poisonous?" The other snake replied, "Yes, we are. Why do you ask?" The first snake said, "I was afraid of that. I just accidentally bit myself." At times, we're just like that snake who bites himself, right? We poison ourselves with our thoughts and our doubts, our fears, speaking words filled with negativity, Yeah, even people in unity use words of negativity all the time. When we think in such ways, we bite ourselves with our own negativity. We think we're throwing it over there, but most all of it goes this way. When we think in such ways, we bite ourselves, which creates a harder and separates us even further from the good that we're actually seeking. Instead, as opposed to saying or thinking those things, we need to pause in this moment now, still our mind, and engage our faculty of spiritual discernment. Taking that deep breath in and feeling the presence of the divine in this moment now flowing through us. Feeling it right here in our solar plexus. Inviting spirit to guide us beyond the obstacle blocking our way, filling us with spiritual wisdom, guiding us to take the next step, enlightening our awareness to this spiritual dimension, this realm of infinite possibilities of goodness and wonder. When offered the opportunity to experience a greater, more fulfilling reality, is there something, an old thought, an old memory, an old teaching that's preventing you from crossing the wall that separates you from the good? Every time we get an inspiration, does something bubble up in you? Say, oh, you can't do that? Am I the only one that has a voice like that? We have to invite that thought to bubble up within it in this moment now and look at it, see where it's coming from, and then release it. Let it go. Now, according to an ancient story, four people walk through the woods complaining about their lot in life. Woe is me. Another one said, oh, don't tell me that. You don't even know the problems I have. They are terrible. And so the conversation went until they came to a high wall, which caught their attention. Unable to see over the wall, they became curious about what was on the other side. So they built a ladder. The first person climbed up that ladder and was amazed at the incredible beauty on the other side of that wall. And he climbed down and let the next one climb up, and he was amazed at the beauty as well. The third person climbed up and said all the same thing. Everything that they had ever prayed for was on the other side of that wall. The first, the second, and the third thought it was beautiful and amazing, and yet they climbed back down that ladder and then returned to their lot in life, complaining all the way. They never considered how they might achieve such a glorious, amazing life, a new life that existed beyond the realm of their understanding. It existed on the other side of that wall, and it was not a part of their ordinary lives. And for whatever reason, they couldn't think of themselves on the other side of that wall. But the fourth individual climbed up to the top of that ladder, and seeing the possibilities, cried out, I want a better life! There is a better way, and I am going to get over this wall and accept it and make it my own. And so he did. He climbed over that barrier and lives on the other side of that wall in a different world today. Myrtle Fillmore wrote, human believes in limitation, which fixes the inflow and the outflow of life. We can rise up out of these limitations and the boundaries by degrees. As we learn how to use our inner qualities and powers in divinely ordered ways, we are ready to bring down that wall of separation. I was wondering, have you ever noticed what happens when you're talking about people that you might not like? How your voice goes up and gets out of sync. How the body begins to tighten up, and that tightening up restricts the blood flow. Yeah, we live where Satan's throne is. In a world dominated by the adversarial dualistic sense mind that celebrates its independence and seems in its seeming sense of separation. If we seek to strike it down with our enlightened words, a spiritual wisdom, we're actually only pulled more deeply into that illusion. Am I the only one that noticed that? There are many sci-fi movies that bring this realization to the front, to the forefront of our mind. Yeah, we carry a double-edged sword that swings both ways, and it can do us great harm, even though we might think that we're doing good. And that's why JC, y'all know JC? You know, JC said, resist not an evildoer. So why do we? Curious idea. And so you know what we got to do? Repent. Yeah, repent. Which doesn't mean to get on your knees and beg for forgiveness. Some of you know, most of you know, repent means actually to turn around and to stop your stinking thinking. Right? And then begin to look for God's kingdom of and its harmony and balance, which is actually all around you all the time. Repent. When we do, we can claim our personal power. You are a creator of your reality. Well, consciously do so, right? Consciously do so. Begin it right now. Do it in this moment now. Say to yourself, this illusion, anybody got something that they're struggling with? This illusion has no power over the truth of me. Right? I am healthy, whole, and well. I am radiantly alive. I am connected to the divine. Right? I'll say it one more time and then you can remember it, right? This illusion has no power over the truth of me. I am healthy, whole, and well. I am a radiant child of God. I am connected to the living force in this moment now. So y'all can do that all week long, right? Understanding your faculty of spiritual discernment and accessing it is essential to your journey into the kingdom of ever-expanding goodness. You all want to go there, right? Because we live there. We're there right now. Whether you can see it or not, it cuts through the belief that we are victims to the blind chance and fate, illustrating that cause and the cure lie within you, not outside of yourself. That the cure to what ails you does not lie in the hands of some arbitrary third party. Claiming and affirming our personal power empowers us to be in charge of life, taking it back from our ego mind. You don't want to live there in all that gooiness, or do you? Do some of you like the gooiness? I don't. Right? We are in control of our thoughts and our words. So consciously begin to choose them, how you will direct them. and thereby shaping and forming the invisible ethers in conjunction with your imagination, and create your present and future reality. I invite you to bring down that wall of separation, right? Letting go of your expectations, whatever resistance you might have to that kingdom of infinite possibilities and its realm of goodness and wonder. Begin saying what that statement says on your piece of paper. I am a powerful, creative, spiritual being, and I am activating my power of spiritual discernment to create a world of my conscious choosing. I am a powerful, you can say that with me. I am a powerful, creative, spiritual being, and I am activating my power of spiritual discernment to create a world of my conscious choosing. One more time. I am a powerful, creative, spiritual being, and I am activating my power of spiritual discernment to create a world of my conscious choosing. Well,